know you're going to share that. I probably would have just done that, the sermon, and we could go home. But it was that, I think, it's profound to our hearts. And I know that if we hear what you said, we hear what's been said to us for a while, you know, I think that we'll all be getting to a place where we're just determined that that we're going to, you know, that whatever time we have, whatever it means for us to press in, to hear from God, to do His will, to make sure that we're in His will and that we're doing His purposes, then we fulfill that purpose in our lives. I think if we just hear what God's been saying, we'll be determined to do that. And I know for sure that that's what I'm determined to do. That I've laid these things out before the Lord for the last year and just said, God, you know, I just want my life, I just want to finish it well. You know, I just want to do what you want me to do. I want to be where you want me to be. I don't really care. I don't care about the money. I don't care about all those things. I just want to live by faith with you and to walk it out. And I believe that many of us are seeing and hearing that. And many of us have been just really almost taken aback at how God has moved in our lives in these powerful ways that He's done that. And yet, at the same time, we see these great things going on in our life. We see God moving in our life. We're confronted with an enemy that's still out there and that's still doing everything to hinder the purposes of God in our life. And I don't know if that's been the way it is for all of you, but I know for a lot of you, just by speaking with you and talking to you, that that's where we are. Not only you, but all the people that I've been around for the last few months, and especially in the last 6 or 7 weeks. I'm going to what I have today, I really believe is just a word that God wants to say to us. And I hope I can say it the way God wants to say it. And it's built around a vision, or I guess I could say it was a vision that I had before I left to go to Washington this year. And I've shared that a little bit, and I've shared it with some individuals, and I think I've even mentioned it here in the church. But I want you to hear it. God showed me, and I believe it was God showing me, that before I was leaving for Washington, the Lord just revealed to me this battle that was going on. And that He spoke to me and said that there had been a great blow struck in the heavens. That God had struck a great victory blow in the heavens. And yet He showed me this soldier that was an enemy soldier. And he was huge and powerful. And it was like one of those Roman, outfits, whatever. And I remember seeing his knees, and he hit the ground really hard. And he'd been struck hard. And he wasn't dead. And he still had a sword in his hand. And he was woozy, and he was almost out, but he was still strong enough and still determined enough to keep waving his sword around. And the word that the Lord gave me was to be vigilant, to not be fooled and not go into a place of complacency because that blow had been struck so hard, because it was a real victory for the Lord. This was a real powerful, I believe, a real powerful symbol of the satanic army of the devil, of Satan's army, of evil, however you want to say it. And this blow that was struck was mighty, but he was still dangerous. And the sword was still swinging. And if we weren't vigilant, that we would get struck by his sword, and it would do tremendous damage to our lives in our spirit, soul, and body. I felt the word when I first got it, it really had to do with the whole issue of life and going to Washington and the battle that we were going there, because, you know, I get very frustrated about people not understanding why we do what we do there. Because a lot of people think we're just going to a political event and we're going to march for a little while with signs and it's well and good. They don't understand it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle that's being fought at the highest levels that can be fought in the spiritual realm. Being in front of the Supreme Court, praying and worshiping, listening to God, prophesying, speaking the word of the Lord, reading the word of the Lord, all those things, it has to do with a mighty spiritual battle. And I felt like this soldier was a representative of the evil that promulgates the culture of death throughout the world. And so the word was to be vigilant. To be vigilant. And then when I was in Washington, you know, John, I shared some with John Putman, and he called me on his cell phone. Or left me a message. I can't remember. Left me a text message. I don't think I could get to it at the time, so I had to go back and listen to it. But John said, you know, he had the word about praying, and about praying for me and praying for the situation and all those things. But he said, I just want you to know that I have my sword in my hand right now. And John's got this big sword. I don't know which sword you had then, but he's got a sword. I don't think I could even lift it up. Patty probably could. I used to could, and that's another word about time. You got to do things when you can do them. But he had that sword lifted up, and the man, it spoke to me, you know, again, of just being vigilant, that we can't let our guard down. We've got to understand and be aware and be sober and be aware of what's going on. And so as I was just thinking about all these things, and the Lord really brought me to 1 Peter 5, where else? To reinforce this word, that it's a biblical word, and that God is saying it specifically to us now, and that there's a victory that God wants us to walk in, but we must be vigilant. And so since then, all these things have happened to confirm that word was real, from so many people that have had so many experiences when they're just riding this place in the Lord that's been so good, but yet the enemy has just swathed at them and made major blows against them. And my word has continued to be, just be vigilant. So 1 Peter 5, I just want to read a little bit from that and just get a little bit out of this. And I hope that it means something, because I think that word wasn't just about the whole issue of the culture of life, which I think it was the main thing. And when that, I'm telling you, when that demon, that spiritual whatever it is, that place of exaltation of death is brought down finally, there's going to be a tremendous opening up of the Spirit of God in the world. And the Spirit of God is going to do things that He has not done. But God's Word is to be vigilant. And I do believe it starts there. I don't believe we can live our lives just as normal. You know, I mean, I know we have normal lives and we have fun, we have fellowship. We have things to do in our lives, but we must be vigilant, beginning with that issue of life and bringing that principality down. And then we'll see other things happen, I believe, throughout the world. But I also think it's a word to us individually, in our own lives, in our own families. It's the same word about being vigilant. And I think it was confirmed a couple weeks ago when several people gave testimonies of things here in the church and spoke, and when Melissa and Teresa and others spoke, John, that God is saying something to us, and we really need to listen and hear and to be vigilant about this. Have I said one word more than I've said anything else today? Vigilant. To be vigilant. So 1 Peter 5, starting verse 5 at the end of the verse. And all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I don't see any way of living out the Christian life without living out a life of humility, of humbling ourselves, of realizing when we're wrong, we just say we're wrong. When we haven't done it just right, to go back to say, you know what, I didn't do this right, I treated you wrong, I spoke this, I did that, and walk in humility. I think that also is a word for those that promote a culture of life throughout the world. And I want to tell you something just to keep here. Many years ago, the Lord has spoken a couple of things to me. The Lord doesn't speak that clearly to me all the time. I'm really stubborn. I think He speaks to me. I don't hear Him a lot. A couple of times God has spoken to me things that He said were going to come true, and they did. Right after I became a Christian, I was sharing I had all this zeal, no wisdom. I worked as a maitre d' in the French Quarter in New Orleans. And after I'd get off work, I'd go out in my tuxedo, and we went with this guy, and we'd just go share the gospel all over the French Quarter. And I had no idea how to do that. You know, my thing was just yelling, anybody walked by, repent, repent! You know, and then, you know, either they would get mad enough at me to come and talk to me, and we'd, you know, pray or something. You know, God did stuff with, you know, really nothing with people.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. But I was in this little mission place, and this guy that ran the mission place, he was this big, tall, black guy. He's like 6'8", and he would go with me, so I wasn't scared. He would go out with me, you know. We would go all over New Orleans, and we'd go out to the housing projects, and we did all these things together. But he said, he had a word for me. He said, God is going to open a door, and you're going to speak before thousands of people. And I mean, I hadn't been a Christian but a couple months. So I'm going, okay, sure, you know, whatever. You know, I didn't even know what prophecies and things were. So within, like, I guess 2 years, 3 years after that, I found myself at the convention center downtown, and there was a main speaker for like 3,000 people there. And I didn't even think about it until I spoke. And I remembered that word that God had given me. And I was a pastor of a little church that, oh gosh, Dwayne was there. And Carl and Rubens, I don't know if they had gotten there yet. But we probably had 25 or 30 people in a little place downtown. And God just opened this door up. Another word that the Lord showed me several years ago was that I would have a place Because I've been involved in the culture of life and building a culture of life now for around 20 years. And the Lord spoke to me a few years ago that I would have a place, because what I've seen in the pro-life movement is a lot of division, a lot of posturing, a lot of pride, a lot of money-hungry things, just a lot of unchristian stuff that goes on. Not that that's all the people, but I've seen a lot of it because I've been around, I've been with a lot of people that are involved in it, and I mean at all levels. And the Lord showed me that one day I was going to have a place to speak to the pro-life leaders of the world, and I would be able to speak a word of unity and a word of humility. And that it would be spoken to people that I didn't even have any idea who they were. Well, I can't even tell you right now all about it, but I'm telling you that within a few weeks, that exact opportunity is coming to me in a very private meeting with people that can change the world. And so I know what God can do. And I know that God, as we do faithful little things, that God can do magnificent things with that. And so I covet your prayers about that. But I think a lot of it has to do with walking in humility, and that the word of the Lord is for us to clothe ourselves with humility. Let me just read the rest of this passage, and I'll talk a little bit about that. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Some commentators say here when Peter was speaking about clothing yourselves with humility, it wasn't as much about the individual Greek words, but it was more about the phrase that he used, clothing yourself with humility. And they believe that he was speaking about when Jesus tied the towel around his waist and washed the feet of the disciples. That there was a humility there. That the example of humility, the greatest example of humility that's ever been given to us, came from Jesus himself. Now, this was the greatest act of humility, but this act of humility, when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, it came from that example of who he is for us and who he is to us and how we should live our lives. Thinking about others, caring for others, blessing others, being thankful for all things. So, Peter says to clothe yourselves with humility. You know, so this should be like, in other words, he's saying, this is your life. It's not just something you do. It's not, and when we get together on Maundy Thursday and we wash each other's feet, that's symbolic and it has a power, but it's something that in our spirit, in our lives, living with one another, that we do every day. Being clothed with humility. And then one other thing he says here that I just think is a word for us, that he says, cast all your cares on him, all your anxiety. And I know Don could probably do a better job of explaining what anxiety is. But there's a spiritual component to anxiety, because this is a spiritual word to us that Peter's giving. He's giving us, he's identifying spiritual attitudes and issues, and he's addressing them with spiritual answers. But the anxiety that we have, even though it's an emotional and a physiological kind of thing, there's also a spiritual anxiety that can be described almost in the exact terms as emotional anxiety. And the definition is that to a concern or solicitude respecting something or event, future or uncertain, which disturbs the mind and keeps it in a state of painful uneasiness. Sometimes I think that's, you know, when we're walking like that, you know, I guess that we have this idea of the devil working, you know, that it's so visible to us, that he's so visible that we expect, you know, for the devil to be just somebody that is really being evil to us. You know, like, it's easy to think of maybe abortion doctors as being like the devil. But what God is saying is no. Where the devil, where Satan operates, is the way you respond to evil. It's the attitude of your heart. It's the humility that he desires to put in your heart. It's not looking at just everything out there and seeing how evil that is, and that must be satanic. Satan works in us. He works on our attitudes. He uses our anger. He uses our pride. He uses those attitudes that we have. Chad, you probably don't even know this week how many people have mentioned your prayer of thankfulness that you pray. But our attitude of ungratitude, Satan gets into those things. He works in those places, in our hearts, in our attitudes. And this is where God is saying, is calling us to humility, to humble ourselves, and quit blaming and looking at everybody else and what they're doing wrong and go like, God, what do you want to do in me? Clothe me with humility. And it's just, again, this is a part of, you know, it's one of our weapons. One of our weapons of warfare, a spiritual weapon, is walking in humility. Now, we think of a lot of weapons, and I just, you know, I was going to just say this morning that, you know, a lot of us, our weapons, we all have spiritual weapons that we use. You know, the Bible, the Word of God is a spiritual weapon. Our prayers are spiritual weapons. But also our humility, our grace, the way we fellowship with people, those are weapons. Some of us use some weapons better than others. Does that make any sense? Some of us, you know, there are some people, man, like, they just know this book from the beginning to end. And it's a real weapon for them. It comes, you know, it comes really easy to know a scripture that when they have warfare going on in their own life, whether it's with themselves, within themselves, or with somebody else, they just know, man, that there's something here. The Word of God is a weapon for them to use. Some people are more, prayer is the biggest weapon. Some people just pray more than other people. They're prayer warriors. They're intercessors. And they know how to use that weapon. Now, we all pray. We all read the Bible. We all, do a lot of things in the Spirit. We all use the weapons, but some of us use some weapons better than others. Amen? So, whatever it is, whatever weapon that God has really trained you to use, my word is to you, just now is the time to use it. To be vigilant. To be vigilant. It's time to pick it up. And you know, and there are so many things. Sometimes people, the personality, the gift of that God has given you as a personality to just reach people and talk to them. Just to be there. So they know that if they've got something going on, you're the person. You'll talk to them. You know, and then eventually you'll get to the place where you can pray with them. There are all kinds of weapons that God wants us to use, but it's the time. Now is the time to use whatever it is that God has given you that you know you're comfortable with picking that thing up and using those weapons that God has given. Be vigilant. Vigilant means attentive to discover and avoid danger, to provide for safety, wakeful, watchful, circumspect, wary. Just being aware. You know what's going on around you. Don't be complacent. Man, you know, it's like, and anybody that knows me pretty well will tell you, I know when things start getting, looking really good for me, I mean, if I've had a couple of really good days, I know something's getting ready to happen. I mean, I know for sure that the enemy's going to come in a really powerful way. Not just, you know, I mean, is somebody sick, somebody's dying, somebody's in real distress, marriages are in distress, something will happen. It just doesn't, you know, you can't be complacent. God is saying to be vigilant. And I believe this time, especially as we head into this Lenten season, God is saying even more and more, this is a time to take things serious. Some of us, God is calling to a deeper fast, to a deeper understanding and revelation of letting God work in our hearts and our lives so we can strengthen and bless others, because people are going through hell right now. And that's what he says. That's what Peter says here. He says, knowing, resist him firm in your faith, speaking of the devil, resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Why does God always have to talk about blessings and about strengthening and about the good things he does? He always has to bring in this stupid suffering thing. And sometimes the problem is, and I think Peter's addressing this here, is we get so involved in our own suffering that we don't realize that we can't break free, and we don't realize how bad others are suffering. And most of you remember, I've spoken that here before, the word from Philo of Alexandria, to be kind. Be kind, for everyone you know is fighting a great battle. Just when you want to get mad at somebody, just as soon as you want to be frustrated with someone or whatever it is, you look at them in their life, you better understand that there's a great battle going on in their life, in their spirit. For God is desiring, God is pulling them and pulling them toward Him, and the enemy is like licking at their feet, pulling them down, always at the door, crouching there to tempt all the things that he does. So we have to be vigilant. In Psalm 10, the psalmist spoke about this wicked, evil stuff. He said, the wicked in the haughtiness of his countenance does not seek him. That means God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. His ways prosper at all times. Man, have you ever just looked at people and thought, you know, these people don't even live for God, they don't even believe in God, and look at all the things that they get. Their life is better than my life. They got more than I got. They probably got more peace than I have. No, they don't. They may have more material things or visible things, but they don't have what we have. The peace that passes all understanding. His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of his sight. As for all of his adversaries, he snorts at them. He says to himself, I will not be moved. Throughout all generations, I will not be in adversity. His mouth is full of curses and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is mischief and wickedness. He sits in the lurking places of the villages, in the hiding places. He kills the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the unfortunate. He lurks in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. I mean, this is a perfect description of how the enemy gets to our attitudes, to our hearts, even to our situations. When we don't have enough money to live on, that's where he's lurking there. He's stealthily watching for the unfortunate. lurking in a hiding place as a lion in his lair. And that's what Peter says. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And I say to you, we cannot let him. You cannot let him devour you. You must be diligent to keep him away. He is still swinging that sword. He is still coming at you like a lion. He's still out there ready to take you down, to take you out. To be vigilant. Be vigilant with the weapons of God. It says he crouches, he bows down, and the unfortunate fall by his mighty ones. That's in Psalm 10. I'm getting back, and I'll just close out with this. He said in verse 10, back in 1 Peter 5, after you have suffered for a little while, after you have suffered for a little while, when you're diligent, when you're vigilant, when you just take up your weapons and you get back in the fight, and you're determined to stay in the fight no matter what the cost is, and you're determined to keep your faith, you're determined to walk in faith, you're determined to walk with Him, when you made that determination and you get back in that fight, and then you're going to suffer. But he says this is a promise that God gives us. The God of grace who called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself, listen, I'm going to do a reverse altar call. If you have been called to His eternal glory in Christ, lift up your hand. Okay, good. If you've been called to His eternal glory in Christ, He has made a promise to you and to me. He says that He will Himself, not Father Terry or Father Carl or Father Don or John Putman or Carlton or all these good people. People can only be used as tools. But he said he will do this work himself. He said he will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's a promise from God. When we're diligent, when we fight, with the weapons of faith, with the sword of the Spirit, with the Word of God. He said He'll strengthen us. He said He will perfect us. He'll render you fit. He'll render you fit. And this is what it means. He will render you fit. He will repair and restore you body, soul, and spirit. Do you need to be healed? Does your spirit need to be healed? Your body need to be healed? Your emotions need to be healed. He will heal you. He will render you fit. And then it says He will confirm you. And that's not just about confirmation that we have here. The word means He will strengthen in judgment or purpose. He will strengthen you in judgment or purpose. It literally means to corroborate or validate who you are in Him. When all those things, you know, we deal so much with this self-identity thing where we just like get in this place where God doesn't love us, nobody in the church loves me, nobody in the community loves me, my boss hates me, all the people at work, nobody likes me, nobody loves me. He will confirm you. He will affirm you. He said He will do it Himself. He will corroborate and validate who you are in Him. Amen. And then it says He'll strengthen you. And literally this word is only used in this one passage in the New Testament. To strengthen you, to confirm you in spiritual knowledge and in power. He will strengthen you in your spiritual knowledge and power. In other words, as you pick up those weapons, as you begin to get into His Word, and I mean letting His Word get into your heart, not just reading it for the sake of reading it. And you know, sometimes, and this has been something in my life, what I've done, sometimes I read the Bible more when I want to argue with somebody. Come on, somebody. When I think I disagree with someone, well, I'll just go find a scripture that shows that I'm right. But you can do that all day long, and it will do you no good at all. He wants His words to come into your heart, but He says His words are spirit and they're life. His words are there to heal. They're not so we can preach to someone else or show someone else how great we are, how great theologians we are, or what we know about the Scriptures, or how many we've memorized. It's about getting His Word, letting His Word come into our heart, into our spirit. Because His words are spirit and they are life. Even if you just read one verse a day and just go, God, put this into my heart. I need this in my heart. And then He said He would establish us. And it literally means to lay a basis for, erect, or consolidate, or lay a foundation, or listen. And this is the part I like about it. To ground and settle us. Ground and settle us. And there are a lot of pictures that you could use to look at this this word of anywhere from building a foundation for a huge building. But I think what God is saying is like, it goes back to that whole deal of anxiety, of spiritual anxiety. Of just like not being satisfied, of just having that thing in our gut that just doesn't feel good. And we're just, you know, nothing's right. Everybody's wrong. I just can't do this Christian life anymore. And we just need to be settled. Just grounded and settled. Settled. Just settled. It speaks to me of just a peace more than anything else, of just a peace in our heart. And where we get to one of those places where no matter what it is, no matter what the cost, to know that if we follow Christ, that we can have that peace, we can not only live for something, but even when we die, we'll know we lived for the right thing. Amen.
Amen.
Name of the yes, sir. Of the Father. Go ahead.
The whole time that I was like praying about whether I needed to say anything today or not, and what this word kept coming to me, and I didn't understand it until your message today. The word was abide.
Yeah, I sent out a thing from him.
Whatever the process is by which the vine dresser piles boulders around the base of the main grapevine, and it shocks the grape. It's like they used to do with the pecan trees. They go out there and lash the pecan trees with a chain to make them bear more fruit. And so this whole thing you've been talking about, vigilance and girding, suffering is a part of that.
Amen. 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 In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's say together the creed. Ryan, will you lead us in that?